couple or three messages from this book. And it's where I have been in my daily Bible reading. And I've seen some things that I've kind of been overlooking in the past. And I'll tell you something about reading your Bible. If it just becomes a habit and you just read it to have something to do, you're not going to get much out of it. But if you read it because you want to learn and because you want to know what it says, then you can, you'll read it in a different light. And you will read every word instead of just scanning over the surface of it. And that way, when you just scan over it, you miss a lot of things. I write the little article in the bulletin every week, and I go back and I read over it, and I think, well, it looks pretty good. I don't see any mistakes in it. But I always let Miss Carol proofread it, and every time she reads it, she says, right here's a mistake. Well, see, the reason why is because I know what it says, so when I was reading over it, I wasn't really reading it. I knew what it said already. And when she read it, she didn't know what it said, so she reads every word. And that's the way we are with our Bible sometimes. We think we already know what it says, so we just skate across the top of it. But if you slow down and get down in it and look and see what it actually says, it says things sometimes that we don't know it really says. And even the things that we do know it says, if we slow down and listen to the Lord, He'll give us little nuggets from it. And I was reading this past week in the 26th chapter, and pertaining to Judas betraying Christ. I've heard this story all my life. I've read it all my life. I've probably read this thing at least 25 or 30 times. I'm sure probably more than that. I've preached out of it probably that many times. But I saw something in here that just kind of, I saw it from a different view than what I've seen before. And I'm not going to read all this story this morning. I'm only going to read about three verses. And I want to start with verse number 20. And the Bible said, "Now, when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?" Yes. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We ask you just to anoint the preacher today, Father. Lord, anoint the word of God this morning. And God, help us to bring the message that you want brought in the way you'd have it delivered, that every soul here may get what's needed from it. Lord, there's something in here for each and every one. God, help us to take what we need. And Lord, I ask you to help us to apply it to our hearts today. Be with us now, Father, for a few minutes, and just give us strength and grace to preach. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now the Bible says here in the 20th verse, he said, "Now when even was come, he sat down with the 12. And I was looking at this and I thought, you know, Jesus wants to fellowship with those that will be his disciples. He said he did this when the even come. If you back up a little bit before this, and I'd rather you didn't do it right now because I want you to listen to the message, but just a little bit prior to this, they asked Jesus, "Where would you have us to set up for the Passover?" And he told them, "Go to a certain man's house and tell him the master has need of his guest chamber to have the Passover supper with his disciples." And so when the evening came, after they had made ready, he sat down with his disciples, and they were sitting here at the supper, and this was the last meal that he would ever have with these disciples. And It's the last time that they would be seated like they are right now. And I believe that it was the last Passover that was ever necessary. I know the Passover was instituted in the book of Exodus, and God said, y'all do this on a yearly basis and continue to do so. But then I find John standing on the seashore, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And so this Passover that they was celebrating in Jerusalem this day, I believe would be the last Passover that was necessary. Now the Pharisees and some of them, they may have continued to do this, I don't know. But I think this was one of those things that was a vision or a view of things that were to come, and now the things were here. And so this was probably the last necessary Passover, and it was certainly the last supper, and that's what we call it a lot of times in the painting that we see, the Last Supper. That's what it was. Jesus told them in Matthew chapter number 26 and 29, he said, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. He said, we are going to share this, and then after that, I'm not going to ever do this again. I'm going to be taken away. And in the 21st verse, the Bible said, and as they did eat, he said, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now I want to tell you something. That was a damper put on the surface, or on the supper. They were sitting here enjoying a meal with the Savior and enjoying His company. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, He said, one of you all going to betray me. One of who? There was 12 disciples in this room with Him. And they looked around and they said, one of us is going to betray Him. That was saddening, I'm sure. That was heartbreaking, I'm certain, because of the next verse. And when they read, they heard what He had said to them, I believe that they began to ponder who this might be. But in the next verse down, we find that the Bible said that as they were exceeding sorrowful, they began, every one of them, to say unto Him, Lord, is it I? Now I've read this and read this, and I've always thought, what a strange question to ask the Lord. Lord, is it I? I begin to think about this, and I begin to ponder this question. Lord, is it I? And I begin to think, as I've always thought, this was a strange question, because Peter asked Him, Lord, is it I? John, that he loved, the disciple that Jesus loved, said, Lord, is it I? And Matthew said, Lord, is it I? And all the rest of them said, Lord, is it I? And I see this and I begin to think, how could they not know that it wasn't them? Why did they ask, is it I? When in their heart and mind they knew that it wasn't them. And I always thought, man, what a strange question to ask the Savior. You know what we would probably have been asking if we would have been there in that same situation? And if the Lord said, one of you is going to betray me, you know what our question would probably have been? Lord, is it Brother Ross? Lord, is it Brother Bob? Lord, is it Brother Woody? Lord, is it Brother Carson? Lord, is it Brother DJ? Lord, is it this one or that one? We would have never said, Lord, is it I? We would be pointing a finger at somebody else and saying, I've noticed they've been acting a little strange here lately. They could have said, well, you remember, fellas, how that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, went to Jesus quietly and secretly and asked Him if they could have seats on His right and left hand. I bet it's them, because he said that he couldn't do that, and now they're all upset and bent out of shape over this, and I'll bet that's who it is. And that's what we would have done. But I read this and I see that Peter didn't say, "Lord, is it John? Lord, is it Matthew? Lord, is it James?" They didn't say that. But what they said was they took a good hard look at themselves and said, "Lord, is it I? I don't want to betray the Lord." But I want to tell you something. As they ask this question, and I think how crazy it sounds to me, because each one should have known better. And even Judas said, "Lord, is it I?" And he knew he was the guilty party. He knew that, because if you look back in verse 14 and 15, the Bible said that, "And one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest and said unto them, 'What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you.' And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver." Yeah. He already had the silver in his bag, and he knew that it was him. And yet, just like all the rest of them, he said, "Lord, is it I?" And Jesus said, "Yep, you said it." And I want to tell you something today. We could all ask ourselves the question, "Is it I that will betray the Lord?" Because I want to tell you something that I have come to realize from looking at these scriptures and reading this these verses this past week. I sort of have come to the realization that there's not a person in this room this morning that could not betray the Lord. You sit here and you say, "Not me. I couldn't do that." I want to tell you something. I'm not saying you would if you had an opportunity, because we have opportunity on a daily basis, and we often, most of the time, don't do it. But what I'm telling you is, there's nobody here today under the sound of my voice that could not betray the Lord if the Holy Ghost of God wasn't leading us and directing our pathway, and if we wasn't walking with Him and following Him, any of us in here could betray Jesus. And they didn't have the Holy Ghost like we do. They could have been the one. And Peter said, I imagine in his mind he's thinking, "Lord, I'd never do that. But Lord, is it me? Am I the one? Am I going to betray you? Lord, I don't want to. You know my heart. You know I don't want to. I got no desire for that. But Lord, is it me?"
Help him, Lord.
We ought to ask ourselves that question. Because I tell you something, I've betrayed the Lord. I have. Say, "Preacher, I wouldn't be telling that." Well, you have too. You have too. Somewhere in your life, you betrayed Him. Listen, there was only one person that betrayed Him, but all of them. He said in one place, he said, "Every one of y'all gonna deny me." He said in this 26th chapter, he finally said, "Every one of you going to be offended because of me." And Peter said, "Lord, I would never be offended because of you." But you know something? He was.
Amen.
Listen, Judas was the only one that betrayed him, but they all denied him.
Amen.
I just wonder this morning, how many times have we denied the Lord? You say, "Preacher, I've never denied Him." You never put anything in before the Lord in your whole life. Well, that's what I'm talking about. You see, we put things ahead of the Lord. We say we love the Lord more than anything in the world. And then I look around and I see empty churches.
Yeah.
I drive to church on Sunday morning and I see parking lots at churches with hardly nobody in them. You know why? Because sleeping is more important than serving or worshiping God.
Amen.
And so people deny the Lord for just a little bit longer shut eye.
Yeah.
And then you see those that have got their God tied to the back of their boat, of their car by the tongue, and they're racing down to the lake with him. And they, last Sunday, they said the Lord was the most important thing in their life. And this Sunday, catching that big bass is more important than Jesus.
Preach you, Lord.
We've denied him. We say, Lord's most important thing in our life, but then we get that new automobile, or even if it's not a new one, we get a different automobile, and then we've got to go to Cage Cove and ride around on Sunday, because after all, that's the only time we have. I want to tell you something. He might have been important to you last week, but this week, the Cage Cove loop is more important than Jesus, and you've denied him.
Amen.
People say, I love the Lord more than anything. Then that old swimming hole starts looking pretty good in the summertime, and we want to race down there and jump in the water. Well, Jesus might have been important last week, but this week, swimming more important than Jesus. You see what I'm saying? That Jesus said, y'all going to deny me, and we stand around this and not me. I'll tell you something. If you'll sit down and examine your life and examine yourself, you'll find out that you have denied the Lord, and I want to tell you something. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you'll probably do it again if you live very long.
Yeah,
we're not perfect. We strive for perfection, but we are not perfect. And Jesus said, one of y'all going to betray me. And all of them, they just began to ask him, Lord, I hope it's not me. Is it me?
Yeah,
is it I? And it went all around the table. They was asking, is it I? And when Judas' turn came, and he said, is it I? And Jesus let him know that it was him.
Yeah.
Listen, Judas had already got the money in his money bag. He'd already made a deal with the chief priest. He already had a sign worked out. And when he gets into the garden, I know where he's going to pray. And I'll lead you to him. And I'll tell you how you know who he is. The one that I walk up and kiss on the cheek. That's the one. And I'll tell you something. When I kiss him on the cheek and back up, you better grab him quick and hold him fast. Judas already betrayed. Judas already betrayed him. And Jesus said, one of you all going to betray me.
Yeah.
What a damper to put on their service or on their supper.
Yeah.
Last time they would ever be together. Listen, I want to preach for just a few minutes on we need to be careful.
Yes.
Lest we do the same thing that Judas did. Now, and I want you to notice something. And I, like I said, I've read this a bunch of times. And I believe, I always wondered, why did Judas do that? He was with them when the 5,000 was fed. He was with them when the 4,000 was fed. He was with them when the 70 went out to preach. He was with them when the waters was stilled. He was with them when the sea was calmed. He was with them when the demoniac was delivered and the land of Gadara. He was with them when blind eyes were opened. He was with them when the lame walked. He was with them when the deaf talked. He was with them through all these things. And how could he turn on the one that loved him so much to betray him to be crucified?
Yes, bless him, Lord.
I believe he did it in anger. And I know the Bible said that this was going to happen. There had to be somebody betray him, because if you look at the whole Bible, from the before the creation of the world, the before the foundation of the world, the plan of salvation was already laid out, and God already had a plan, and he needed a Judas to carry this out.
Amen.
Now, did it have to be Judas? Well, I don't know. The Bible said, Jesus said, of all you've given me, I've lost none except one. And that was a devil from the beginning. Listen, but did it have to be, or could it have been somebody else? I'm really not sure. But I know one thing. Judas carried the money bag, and he was always worried about more money. Peter didn't worry much about money. He said, Lord, they're wanting to know if we're going to pay our taxes, and we don't have any money. And Jesus said, go fishing, and the first fish you catch, get it out of the sea and dump the money out of its mouth and go pay our taxes for you and me.
That's right.
Listen, Peter was more of the Lord and his supply as we need it. Judas was more like fill the money bag up because we might run out. Listen, I want to tell you something. We need to learn to trust in the Lord this morning and lean on Him for the things that we have need of because He has a vast supply.
Amen.
But now in this 26th chapter, a little bit earlier, the Bible said that Jesus was at Bethel, at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. And the Bible said that there came a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had an indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? I want to tell you something. Anything you give to the Lord is not a waste.
Amen, brother.
Anything you do for Jesus is not a waste.
Amen.
People say, why do you waste your time going to church? I've never wasted an instant going to the house of God.
Amen.
I've wasted a lot of time in my life not going, but I've never wasted one moment in God's house. That's not a waste. And they said, to why? What purpose was this waste? For the ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For she have ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured the ointment on my body, she did it unto my burial. Therefore, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her.
Amen.
Then one of the 12 called Judas went to the high priest.
Yes.
Listen, when he couldn't get the money for the alabaster box of oil, I think Satan came into his heart and mind and he said, well, I've got another way to make some money. I don't need that alabaster box of oil. It's already been poured out anyway, but I've got a sure way to make money. And so he went to the high priest and covenanted with him and said, how much will you give me? And I'll deliver him to you. And he said, I'll give you 30 pieces of silver. Show me the money. After this instant, listen, I think that Judas couldn't stand being rebuked over this alabaster box of oil. And so he went and sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Now that's just one theory that I've got. And like I said, I realized this had to happen because the Bible said it had to happen. And if it hadn't have happened, then they could have found another way to get Jesus on the cross. But this was in God's plan.
Amen.
And I don't take nothing away from that. But I'm just telling you this morning, right after Judas wanted the money for the oil and Jesus said, you don't need it, he went and sold Jesus.
Amen.
All about money. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
I hear so many people say money is the root of all evil. There's nothing evil about money. It's just when you love it, that's when it becomes evil. I nothing evil about it. I wish I had more of it, but I don't. I don't sit around and worry about it. But I want to tell you something. If you love money more than you love God, if you love money more than you love Jesus, then that's when it becomes wrong.
Amen.
But we, as I said a while ago, there's not a person in here that could not betray Jesus. And I tell you something, when I was a teenager, I wasn't real outspoken about being a Christian. I wasn't one that would run up to everybody in school and say, I'm saved. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't do that. And that's just bad for me. I should have done that, but I didn't do that. And so every time that I didn't do that, was that not betraying the Savior? He came to me when I was lost and He reached out His hand for me and He saved me.
Amen.
And He wrote my name in the Lamb Book of Life.
Amen.
And He made me a reservation to be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yes.
He did all that for me and then I got a bad case of lockjaw when it come to Him.
Yes.
Now every once in a while, I would tell somebody that I was saved. People would say, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Because I'm saved and I don't do that.
Amen.
But that wasn't very often. And I want to tell you something. Every time that you allow an opportunity like that to go by, are you not betraying the Savior?
Amen.
Is that not a betrayal when you don't tell the world about Him? Listen, if Brother Woody was teaching this morning, if the people that told us about Jesus hadn't have told us about Jesus, we still wouldn't be saved.
Amen.
Jesus needs somebody to be a voice for Him. And that somebody is me, and that somebody is you. And if we don't go out and do what the Lord has said to do, are we not betraying the job that He has for us? Any of us could betray Jesus at any time. And that's why these disciples all in unison just about said, Lord, is it I?
Help him.
Bible said in Galatians chapter 5, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
You know why we have such a problem living for Jesus? We ain't walking in the Spirit.
Amen. Preach it.
I'm talking to the ones that ain't. I know people. Listen, I try to walk in the Spirit. Every day I try to walk in the Spirit. I try to get up here and preach in the Spirit. I pray. I pray diligently before I get up here in this pulpit. I say, God, you help me. You send your Spirit to preach, because if the Holy Ghost don't show up and preach, there's not going to be any preaching this service. Listen, I know that I cannot preach. I've been preaching now for 45 years. And one of my friends recently said, I guess you're getting pretty good. I said, no, when I get good, I'll quit. When I get to where I don't need to depend on the Lord anymore, it'll be time to sit down.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something. I'm not got there yet. And if I don't live past about 150, I don't think I'll ever get there either. I trust Him. I lean on Him. I try to walk in His Spirit. I try to read the Word of God in the Spirit. I try to testify in the Spirit. I want to preach in the Spirit. I don't want to just stand up here and holler out a bunch empty words. I want them seasoned with God's Holy Ghost, and they won't be unless I pray and ask Him to let me walk in His Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You ever notice in your life every time you did something that wasn't right, you didn't have your mind on God, did you? You're not going to get out and do something. People jump up and holler, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I'd be careful about that. With most people, you might not have more than a piece or two left. I can't give anybody a piece of mind, because if I did, it'd just shorten me that much more. But I want to tell you something. Nobody's ever jumped up in the Spirit of God and said, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Yeah, it don't happen.
Right.
If you're in the Spirit of God, you're not going to do that. You never hear somebody give somebody a good cussing and then say, boy, I was in the Spirit. No, you wasn't. Yeah, you was in a Spirit, all right. But you wasn't in the Spirit. If we'll walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
And if you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, there's only one answer to the problem, and that is you're not walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, preacher, I'm walking in the Spirit. I want to tell you something. If you sit down and take inventory of your life, and what are we doing? I mean, how in the world are we living? And how do we measure up to the Word of God? We read the Bible sometimes, and we instead of reading the Bible into us, we try to read ourselves into the Bible. I guess that's how I need to say that. In other words, what we read in here, and we say, well, I don't know. That might have been good then, but that's not good now, because that's not how I am. And I'm going to change that just a little bit and make it fit me, and then I'll still be right with God. You're not right with God. You're just double wrong when you start doing that. But you see, that's what we do. And I want to tell you something. That is not walking in the Spirit. And therefore, that's why we fulfill the lust of the flesh so much. Paul went on there in Galatians chapter 5, and he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
If we live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
See, if we would just take the Bible and apply it to our heart and our life and do what God's Word says and walk the way that He says walk and walk in the direction He says to go in, listen, if we would do that, we wouldn't have half the problems that we have.
Amen.
I'm a firm believer in God will take care of us. Preacher, I don't know if He will or not. Then that's the reason why He's not.
Bless Him.
You have to have faith. You walk in the faith and walk in the Spirit. And if you'll walk in the Spirit, the Lord will reveal Himself to you in a way that He's never done before. And you will know and understand and realize everything that you need to do.
Amen.
We go out and we try to witness to somebody. I wouldn't witness to somebody if I didn't have the Spirit of God guiding me.
Amen.
I mean, people, listen, sometimes things comes out of my mouth when I'm talking to somebody, and I think, where in the world that come from? I mean, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm not bragging or anything else, but I'm just telling you, I say things sometimes I don't even know that I know how to say. You know what that is? That's the Spirit. That's not me. That's not my wisdom. That's not my knowledge. That's the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
He knows what needs to be said.
Amen.
And I know you're the same way. And if you're living for the Lord, you'll have things that you say to people. And a lot of times they get mad at you. But I'm telling you something. I've got to the point that don't really bother me. I've had so many people mad at me and a lot of them at the same time too. I mean, hey, if it's just one at a time, that's pretty good. But I'm going to tell you something. I've had a lot of people mad at me all at once. And you know something? That don't bother me either. As long as Jesus is satisfied with me, as long as I'm pleasing to the Lord, I don't really care what anybody thinks. But we, church, we need to pay attention to what we're doing and where we're going and what we're saying. Every day. Because we could. We are capable of betraying the Lord. And that's why those disciples, every one of them, 12 of them in that upper room, wasn't nobody else in that room but them. The Bible said in the 20th verse, now when even was come, he sat down with the 12. That's who's there. 12 disciples. That was it. There was nobody else in that room. Mary Magdalene wasn't there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, wasn't there. Nobody else was there except the 12. And he said, one of y'all going to betray me. And they said, is it I? I'll tell you something. I understand that question after I look at it. Because they really didn't know. Peter told Jesus, he said, I may die for you, but I'll never deny you. Jesus said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. And on the third time that Peter denied him, the old rooster reared back and crowed, and Peter remembered what Jesus said, and he went out and he repented. This, we need to pay attention. We need to pattern our lives after the Word of God. We need to pattern our lives after what Jesus said. We need to pattern our lives after the Lord this morning. And if we'll do that, it won't be us that betrays Him.
Amen.
But the one that it'll be is the one that doesn't care for Him much. And at this point in time, that was Judas.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something. You say, preacher, I just can't hardly go along with that. Well, that's okay. You don't have to. But how many people have you talked to and you invite them? You say, why don't you go to church anywhere? Well, you don't know what that church done. They're mad. They got mad, quit going to church. And you know what my next question is? What did Jesus do to you? Well, He didn't do nothing. He's the one you're betraying. You see, the people get angry at somebody in church and they turn their back on God. That don't make a lot of sense to me. But that's what they do. And so Judas, here we find that he did betray Jesus, and he did go and he went through with it, and he kissed Jesus, and they took him and they led him into Caiaphas' hall to start with, and they began the interrogation process, and they finally had something that they thought was evidence to put him to death. And Judas went back to the high priest and said, look, I've changed my mind. Here's your money back. And they said, we don't want the money back. We've got what we want.
Praise Preach it, boy.
After you have done something like that, like I say so many times, some things you might can undo, and some things you cannot undo.
Preach it, boy. Amen.
And so Judas, they said, we don't want that money back. They couldn't put it back in the treasury because it's the price of blood. Yeah. And they said, we don't want the money back. And Judas said, well, I've decided I don't want it either. And he just threw it down. What did Judas get out of all that? Not one thing. Except to know that he betrayed the Son of God. And then he went out and he hung himself. And I tell you something, that's a sad ending to a life that was lived with Jesus for 3 1/3 years. Listen, Judas was the one that betrayed, and then he changed his mind. Amen. But he couldn't unbetray Jesus.
Amen.
When you have denied him, no matter what you do, you cannot undeny him.
Amen.
You can do better the next time, but you can't never go back and change what you already did. It's over. Is it I? Are you this morning sitting here and you're capable of betraying the Lord? You got no intentions of doing that, but you don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow by this time. You don't know what's going to happen by this time next week. But God knows everything. And that's why He said, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to practice walking in the Spirit every day of our life.
Amen.
And then we will be able to walk a lot straighter. We'll be able to do a lot better if we'll just walk with Jesus. There's an old song that says, let me walk with you, Jesus. I tell you, that's what we need to be doing. We need to walk with the Lord. We need to trust in Him. And I tell you something, I have come to realize that I'm like these disciples. I have to ask myself a question. Is it I that will betray you? Lord, you know I don't want to. Lord, you know I've got no intentions of it. Lord, you know I'm not planning on it. But is it me that's going to fool around and betray you? Unbeknownst to a lot of people, they've betrayed the Lord. There's so many people through the Word of God that has betrayed Him. You could go back over in the Old Testament and you see a lot of those Old Testament prophets and kings, different ones that has betrayed the Lord. They didn't mean to. Saul, first king of Israel, started out as a pretty good person. God chose him to be the king, and Saul started out, he was humble. And when they was going to anoint him as the king, Samuel said, where is he? And they said, he's hid among the stuff somewhere. He didn't want that job. He didn't want nothing to do with it. But they pretty more or less drafted him into that. And he started out and he was a pretty good king. And he tried to follow God. But the farther he went, he began to follow his own self. He began to follow his own devices.
Right.
Until it comes up to about the 15th chapter, I guess, over there in 1 Samuel. When Saul finally, the Bible said, God told Samuel, just get away from me. Leave him alone. Don't have nothing else to do with him. Because I have rejected him.
Amen.
Why? Because he was betraying the Lord. He'd go out and say, I did what God said, but he didn't do nothing God said. Is that you today? Have you betrayed the Lord? I hope not, but I'm going to tell you something. We are all capable of it.
Amen.
If we don't watch and be on our best behavior this morning.
Amen.
While they come and get a song ready this morning, this is the message. Don't betray your Savior. Oh, I think back to the time when I was saved. And I realized that had Jesus not come to where I was and found me, I'd still be lost and I'd probably wind up in hell. But He came to me. He came to me when I wasn't even looking for Him. And He found me because I was lost. And He brought me into the fold and made me a child of God. Made me in the family of God.
Yeah.
I don't want to betray Him. And I want to walk just as close as I possibly can so that I don't. Father, we thank You for privilege to stand once again. We ask you today, Father, to bless in the invitation. Lord, help some here this morning that may be right on the verge of betraying. Lord, help us, Father, to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God, be with us this morning, I pray. God, you touch hearts during this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we stand this morning, while we sing, do you need to come?